Hey, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Frank About Health. I'm here today to discuss with my special guest, Sally Kalksma, about this episode, which is called Championing Life with Cancer. Sally and I met through our producer, Sam Leibowitz, who had told me in an email she has a very interesting story to tell. And we had a chance to talk before the holidays about what that story was. And for those of you who have listened to my previous show on cancer that I did last summer, about Nathan Crane and his discussion about how there are different alternative ways to live with the treatment of cancer and not think of it as a death sentence. That was definitely one true revelation, especially for those of you who are recovering from it. But what you'll find during this hour is that Sally has a unique interpretation of that very fact. And it's because of the way that she looks at it as a challenge that she's willing to fight with, not fight against, but at the same time to concur with her doctor's prescriptions of the appropriate treatments of drugs and chemotherapy and whatever, but to add a vigor to her lifestyle, which she was forced to do. And so before I introduce her and let her take the floor, I just want to add that one of the aspects that makes her story unique, as you will find, is that she was dealing with a husband who had cancer, who unfortunately lost his life after a period of time after being diagnosed. Then she discovered she had cancer, multiple myeloma in her case, and then she discovered the potential of her children through the genetic type of cancer that her husband had could end up developing it. So this became essentially a family problem, one could say. So for that reason alone, I want to make it clear that what we're going to learn in this episode as we are championing life with cancer is, again, to echo what Nathan Crane said last summer, which is don't take it as a death sentence, take it as an opportunity and a challenge, and figure out with your own creative internal resources how to do just that. So first of all, Sally, thank you for joining me on this episode of Frank About Health. And I'm glad we finally have the chance to really explore all of this.
Oh, this is great. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to come on your show. I'm so excited. You have some wonderful guests, so I'm very honored to be one of them. Oh, and I can share the story.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to be more elaborate on what I just gave as a background related to what happened with your husband and yourself and your children?
All right, I'll take the mic. You can step away. All right. So 13 years ago, I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma. And I was like, multiple what? And some of your listeners out there might be like, what is multiple myeloma? Well, it's a rare blood cancer, and it's in your white cells. It runs through your plasma. And I was so shocked. I was very young, and I don't know if you just lost me here with my connection. Can you see me?
No, you're perfect. I see you.
Okay, good, good, good. And my computer just wanted to start doing updates right now. So I was dealing with the fact that I was diagnosed with cancer, and 6 months later, my husband was diagnosed with cancer. However, this wasn't the first time he was diagnosed. He had 7 different cancers in his lifetime.
Wow.
Unfortunately, he passed away within 8 months of his diagnosis of this type of cancer. Now, he had melanoma. Melanoma, everybody thinks, is a skin cancer. Yes, but it also has deep roots. Therefore, it's in the nerve sheath category of cancers. And that's exactly what my husband had. He lacked a gene that could fight nerve sheath tumors. And throughout his life, he always had a different type of cancer that fell into the nerve sheath. Melanoma is very rapid once it hits the lymph nodes, and it just goes crazy. So unfortunately, when he was diagnosed, the doctor said 10 to 15 years. We go back for the next checkup. They cut it in half. They're like 5 to 10. Every time we went back, they just cut his time in half. And by the fall, they're like, well, we hope he makes it to Christmas. And then we're hoping he makes it to Thanksgiving. And unfortunately, he passed Thanksgiving night. So my whole world just turned upside down because I was still dealing with the fact that I was just diagnosed with cancer. I had to go back to work full time. I worked part time because I had three teenage kids that, you know how it is, families juggling. Right. And I had a great job. I absolutely loved my job. I facilitated events and I was very active, but I needed a job with benefits to support my children. Right. And I went back to work full time. Mm. And my job was in a basement and I felt like a caged animal. I sat in a basement for 8 hours a day working at a computer. So I didn't have my usual time to work out. I was a lifelong runner, started competing at the age of 7, ran high school, college. And so at lunchtime, I would hit the stairs and just do a stair workout. That way, when I came home from work, I could spend time with my children.
Right.
Yeah. So what happened was we found out that my husband's cancer wasn't only genetic, but it was hereditary. And I did have my three children tested. Mm-hmm. And I pretty much knew the ones that would be positive. One daughter is me. Wow. And the other two are just him. So it was just what I thought. And unfortunately, they started to develop tumors and have surgery. And I was really, really angry. Now,
I can imagine.
Yeah. So I wasn't going to make matters worse by turning to alcohol or drugs or negativity. When I worked out, I worked out like an animal. I hit those stairs like you wouldn't believe. And the Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation, which I love, and I'll get into more later, sure. They heard about my stair climbing, and they were lucky enough to be the organization sponsoring the Empire State Building run-up that year. Right. And they, hey, you want to do it? And I'll try anything once. That's me. I'm thrill seeker, daredevil. And I'm like, sure. So I trained and I did it. And it was so difficult. Now, like I said, I'm a lifelong runner. I've done everything from marathons to triathlons, you name it, 5Ks. This was sick.
Is that because of your ongoing cancer and the treatments, or was it another reason? No,
it's a difficult race. It's just you're fighting gravity and you're just going straight up the stairs running as hard as you can. And your heartbeat goes to 160 beats per minute and wow. Your thighs are burning and you're using your arms with the handrail. And, you get this great runner's high when you're at the top of the building. And I said, OK, one and done. Never going to do that again. Fast forward a year. Do you want to do it again? I'm like, sure. Why not? It's kind of like when you give birth, you forget the pain and you have another child. Well, this is exactly what it was like. So I intensified my training by going into the city and working out on skyscrapers that I would sneak into because they don't always let you in buildings, and run up the stairs. And I did even better the second year, and then I got hooked, and I started doing other stair climbs. There was one a month later over at Rockefeller Center, and then at 3-4 World Trade Center. And before you know it, I was on the circuit, and I started winning. Okay, now we're talking, I'm now like 50, and I'm winning these races and I'm starting to travel all over the world. And it's telling me to join the meeting. Am I still in here?
Oh yeah, you're here. I can hear you. I can see you and we're recording.
It just popped up, join meeting. So I'm not going to touch anything. I can't see anything except my own screensaver right now. So hi out there. Okay. someday when COVID is gone, we can be back in a studio. I love being in studios with people.
Oh, I know Sam is talking about doing that probably by the end of this year. It's just, you know, we're all still trying to recover from Omicron and whatever, but there is nothing like the actual human interaction. So I'm looking forward to that too.
This is horrible. I've never had this happen with the, like, all of a sudden it's like joint meeting. I'm like, oh, am I just talking to myself?
But can you see yourself talking to me right now? You can see me, right?
No, I can't see you. I can't see you, but I'm not going to touch anything on my computer. Everything's working. I just have my screensaver up here, and I just keep touching the mouse so it doesn't go black.
Okay. Well, you're doing well. You're doing well.
Keep going. I mean, that's life. You got to roll with the punches. Whatever happens, you know, we don't sit there and go, oh, no, I don't have a connection. Okay? We're gonna handle it. We're going to, you know, and that's exactly what I did with the situation. That's what I'm getting at. I took this cancer, you know, diagnosis that I had, that my children had, that my husband passed of, and I took it out on the stairs. And then all of a sudden I was like, well, wait a minute, there has to be more than just me running up the stairs. Right. I need to raise awareness. I need to raise funds for cancer research by doing that. It's just not all about me going up the stairs. I mean, I'm in my 50s and it's like, okay, yay, boo, I got another medal. I love it. I love getting the hardware, you know, it's great, but it's like, it's not just me. It's not about me. I could do something with this.
Well, I have to tell you, I hate to interrupt you again. This is the laws of technology. We are about to go to our first commercial break, but you are in the pivotal moment of what we're going to talk about, exactly how you're raising awareness and championing life with cancer. You're advocating it instead of being defeated by it. And that's what my listeners and viewers want to hear. So stay tuned as we continue to champion life with cancer right here on Frank About Health on talkradio.nyc and Facebook Live.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to this episode of Frank About Health as we continue to champion life with cancer with Sally. Sally, so have you been able to correct your technology and can see me now? Oh, and that's the other thing. You have to unmute because I can't hear you. Wow. Kyle, are you able to help unmute her? Oh, wow. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the world of technical difficulties. Right now, we have my guest, Sally, who is having some difficulty unmuting her microphone. I gather, other than Zoom, are we able to do that through the volume control on the computer? Oh, I have an idea. Why don't you call me on my cell phone? I'll give it So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to be talking about when we finally get all our technical difficulties organized is that apparently Sally has basically been able to deal with the challenge of cancer in her family in a very proactive way. Oh, actually, I'm getting word from our producer, Kyle, that there should be a Zoom window open on your taskbar. Do you see one? All right. Actually, there is a Zoom phone number that she can call me in, correct? Actually, you have my phone number, right? You want to call me on my cell phone? We can have this on my cell phone at the same time. Okay. Can you unmute from your cell phone? Just go to the Zoom taskbar and unmute the audio.
We're all. How's that?
We're ready to rock and roll. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, the last 5 minutes were meant to be with musical interlude, but please forgive this as we are moving forward with a very enlightening story. And so being that this is also being recorded, I'm sure the audio version will be edited so that this little gap in time will not be included. So I know that you'll be able to move that forward through the various people that are helping to promote your work and what you're doing with the MMRF. You know, I could tell you there's a story where I did an episode on COVID and it was audio stream only. And I didn't know how to unmute myself, that they actually logged me off before I came back. So we've been through this before, and don't worry, your story is intriguing enough that I'm going to overlook this. And I think that you can easily as well. I mean, I do have a few questions though. I mean, you've been moving forward with this run every year and in other buildings and stuff like that, but you've been also able to maintain your treatment protocol so that the cancer is not getting the best of you while you've been doing all of this?
Nope, that's not true.
Okay. Okay.
So what happened was, and again, I am sorry for that technical difficulty. I have no idea. I never saw it just do that. It just decided not to show you anymore, not work. But apologies all, we're back.
Yes.
So what happened was I was climbing buildings all over the world. I'm raising awareness and money, not just for the MMRF, but the Leukemia Society, the International Myeloma Society. And as my rankings got better, I ended up being ranked 20th overall female in the world, fifth in the nation at the age of 55.
Amazing.
Crazy. However, as my ranking got better, my multiple myeloma numbers got worse. It was very bizarre. I was watched very closely. And the only thing I needed to do was keep an eye on a hole in my hip, because multiple myeloma, it starts in the plasma. It starts in your white cells running throughout your body. After it invades your blood, it likes to invade the bone. Then after the bone, it likes to invade an organ. So we were just keeping a very close eye on a little hole I had in my bone. I denied the treatment for that. I didn't want to deal with the side effects. It was a very small hole. And my doctor, Statmauer at University of Penn, he totally agreed with me. So, however, my numbers started to get worse, or actually they're actually called climbing, but they started to get worse. And he's like, we're getting very close to the magic number. And he started to see me more often. And all of a sudden he's like, all right, we hit the magic number. And I'm like, okay, now what? He goes, we start treatment. I said, when? He's like, now. Okay. Now, if anybody is familiar with treatment for a blood cancer, it's not like other tumors or cancer where you open somebody up, you take the tumor out, you radiate, you do chemo, you can't. It's throughout your whole system. Wow. When I needed treatment, it was in 50% of my body. So what they do is they give you a cocktail of drugs. It was called the RVD, Revlimid, Velcade, and Dex. And the Revlimid and Velcade are two types of chemo. The Dex is the steroids. And out of the three, I hated the Dex, hated the steroids. I thought, wow, I'm going to work out really hard on steroids.
No, not in this case.
It made me a monster. I didn't like it. And I had to remind myself, which I tell people, when you feel really, really bad, you have to tell yourself, remind yourself, it's not you. It's the drugs. It's not you. It's the drugs, because they're strong. They're strong. I mean, I felt fine till they put me on chemo. Then I felt really bad. But they, so I'm on this treatment for 6 months. You take chemo every day orally. You get chemo shot into your stomach once a week. And then you take the steroids, among other drugs. But this is the highly successful RVD they do with multiple myeloma. Right. After 6 months of this, the levels have dropped to almost normal. Then they hit you with something even harder called Cytoxan, which is a horrible chemo. All your hair falls out. You have no energy. And at that point, they're like, okay, you're now going to come in the hospital. You're in the hospital for Cytoxan, but you go back in again, and they're going to take your good cells out of your body to use in a transplant. So look like, the machine looks like something from Lost in Space. I'm probably dating myself.
Don't worry. I watched it when I was a kid.
Big machine, wires all coming out of it, making weird noises, like, and it tumbles like a washing machine. And I have two ports coming out of my neck, and among PIC lines and everything else. And one, it takes the blood out. It could puts it into the machine, spins it, keeps the red, keeps the white. It separates the red, the white, the plasma. Right. Then it the red back, warms it in the machine, and puts it back in me. If they only want the white and the plasma. Right. Now, this till they have 9 million cells or enough for 3 transplants. They only do 2 with this, but I guess if the doctor drops a bag or something, you know, they take enough.
Right.
Some people are lucky enough to collect their cells in a day or two. Some are stingy. Mine were stingy a week. So you have those. You go home. You recoup. You go back into the hospital about a week later for the big transplant. Right. And be anywhere from 3 weeks to 3 months, depending on how your body reacts.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, when you say transplant, are you talking about a blood transfusion?
No, I had many of those. But this is the actual stem cell transplant.
I see.
Okay. Now, you first they use your own cells to see if it works, and if not, then they go into the bank and try to get a perfect match. It has to be perfect, because you can't put, you know, a cell that doesn't match yours into your body, reject it, die. Right. So that's right. You look for all over the world. So the purpose of a transplant is not to get you better. It is to keep you in remission longer. You cannot put healthy cells in a body with bad cells, or the bad cells will just eat up the good ones, just like cancer cells do.
Right.
Go into the hospital and they bomb you with an even heavier cancer. I'm chemo.
Yes.
Melphalan.
I see.
And this one just brings all the way down, almost a death's door. You can't do a thing, and all your counts have bottomed out. Then that's when they can put the healthy cells in your body.
It's interesting. Okay. It's equivalent to putting life back in you after you've bottomed out.
That's what it is.
Amazing.
Now you're in the hospital until all your levels come back up and you're strong.
Right.
So weak that I got out of bed, I would fall. That's how weak I was.
Right.
But I made sure I did get out of bed, and I did laps around the nurse's station every day. I got myself an exercise bike. The PT, the physical therapist, saw me doing laps. So I was able to get the coveted, you know, one exercise bike they had on the floor at Penn, University of Penn. Yeah. And I got that. And I got out of the hospital within 17 days. Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. Now, that was not expected, but your exercise helped to expedite that?
My oncologist said I went into this in such great shape. Body was get me out of there within 17 days. And that's not just it. I had the transplant. It's my birthday. It was my birthday yesterday, February 2nd.
Happy birthday.
My fifth birthday. Yeah. By May, I believe it was 25th, Memorial Day weekend, I did a 5-mile run. And by September, I was back to stair climbing races all over the world.
All right. So, now we're headed for our second commercial break, but you are literally showing me that you are using cancer as your catalyst for being an athlete, basically. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned as we continue to champion life with Sally and while living with cancer right here.
I promise I'll be here this time.
Oh, yeah. No. So they'll just do the mute and then you'll just unmute yourself when we come back right here on talkradio.nyc and Facebook Live. Stay tuned.
Howdy, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to this episode of Frank About Health. Sally has just spent the last half hour, regardless of technical difficulties, explaining a tremendous story of how you can take the most adverse disease and really make a lifestyle out of it that can be inspiring and motivating. And I'm still interested in the whole nature of how you had bottomed out and they put back all your good cells in, your numbers went up, you got out of the hospital in 17 days, while you were running laps, while you were doing exercise. Can you say that you were like reborn?
Exactly. That's why we say I just had my fifth rebirthday yesterday. I had all new cells in my body, all fresh cells. Even my skin felt better when everything started to come back. Yes. You know, my hair grew back, of course. But yeah, you just, and it's not just physical, mental too, which is so important. You feel good. You know, and you're just like, I just got a second chance at life. This is great. I feel great. It worked. Now, unfortunately, it doesn't work for everybody, you know, when they have to have a second transplant or they have to go and get a donor. But the thing is, personally, I find inspiration in these obstacles because I get joy in overcoming them. Right. So anything that was thrown at me, I was like, okay, I'm going to make the best of this situation. I'm not just going to sit here and be like, oh, you know, poor me, I have cancer. Oh, what am I going to do? You know, no, this is the only chance we get. And you have to, as crazy as this sounds, enjoy it. When I was in the hospital, again, it was February 2nd. Right. That weekend was Super Bowl Sunday. I love the Super Bowl. I hosted a Super Bowl party in my room. I couldn't go to one, so I had one in my room. And it's great because you have your own room because you have to be in isolation, but everybody has to be very healthy coming into you. So I could stock the mini fridge with whatever I wanted. You know, I had my friends and family bring the liquor in for them. Right. I went down the hall and, you know, stole the apple juice and ginger ale and the crackers, you know, and they brought in the pizza and the wings and the subs. And, you know, we had a great time. I mean, you know, it was a little TV mounted up, you know, high in the corner. But, you know, we still had a great time. You have to make the best of these situations when you're there.
I mean, yeah. you probably even developed a sense of timing and wit and humor from what you had to deal with. I can hear it in your voice, especially when we had this minor issue with technology, but you just went with the flow. I felt it. Yeah.
What are you going? Are you going to get upset about it? Are you going to take care of it and just go with it? I mean, mistakes happen. You have to. No one's perfect. You know, technology is imperfect. It happens. I'm sorry it happened on your show, but we got over it, right? Yeah. People don't have to look at me for 60 minutes straight, but it's nice.
Well, no, yours was more entertaining than what happened to me. So either way, I still love yours because it's actually serving as a prototype for what you're going to talk about later on in the show, which is your book. But I did also want to ask you, while you have come back to your second rebirth, you still technically have cancer, right?
Well, yes and no. I know that's a crazy answer. I still take chemo, Revlimid, every other night. I take a pill form of it keep the levels all the way down low. Right. Because you know your body is made up of millions of cells. Right. And maybe when they test me, they just didn't test where that one cell was.
Right.
So to keep it down that low, I have to keep it suppressed. I take chemo every other night.
Oh, and at this time, when you don't have any symptoms, though.
No, the only symptoms I have, again, is from the chemo. So I have to tell myself, it's not me. You know, it's the medicine that's making me tired or upsetting my stomach or, you know, just getting to me. And I'd be like, no, it's not me. It's the medicine. And the medicine is here to help me. You know, things could be worse. Like this medicine can cause secondary cancers. A good friend of mine has multiple myeloma too. And he's like, well, Sally, what do you want to do? Do you want to die of multiple myeloma or the possibility of a secondary cancer? So we take this Revlimid so we don't die of the multiple myeloma. I mean, you never know what's going to happen, you know, so you take it. You know, if you don't take it, that outcome could be a lot worse. So yeah, I do. I take it and I'll be taking it indefinitely.
Analogously speaking, I'm an epileptic and I haven't had a full blown seizure in 17 years, but I still take my meds every day. Thank you. Yeah. You know,
that's fantastic.
And sometimes the side effects, the positive ones of the medication, are worth continuing taking it. So in some ways, there are incentives.
Yeah. I mean, the positive is that, you know, I'm leading a healthy lifestyle and I'm probably healthier and more active than a lot of people my age. I'm going to be 60, you know, in a couple months, and I probably can run circles around somebody half my age, you know.
What about your children? They haven't had any bout with the type of cancer that your husband had. I mean, you said they went through surgeries, but are they okay, or are they resolved at the moment?
Yes, they're seen very closely also at the University of Penn by the genetic specialist there. They're seen every 6 months so they can catch things and keep on top of everything. So they're very good about that. And I can't preach enough how important, again, how unfair, but how important it is to have good health care. And I also want to preach to everybody that you have to get three opinions, or at least two. I get so upset. I'm lucky enough to live Jersey Shore, halfway between Philadelphia and New York City, the two best cities in the world.
Very
great.
Nice.
Great healthcare. And I get so upset when I hear that people don't go for a second opinion or take the drive into the city to see the best. When I was diagnosed locally, they told me, okay, you know, this is what you have, and you should see a specialist. So I went to a world-renowned specialist who told me, okay, you're young, you're healthy, let's get you started on chemo right now. And I'm like, well, if I'm so healthy, what do you want to start me on this? Well, we're going to knock it down right now. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to go get another opinion on that. So I went over to Dr. Edward Stadtmauer, who has developed some of these drugs along with the MMRF. Right. And he looked at me and he said, you're beautiful. I'm just going to watch you real closely, but we're not getting started yet. I said, can I still run? Because yes. And I said, can I still drink wine? He goes, yes. I said, you're my doctor.
Beautiful.
And I could only imagine if I started chemotherapy while my husband was dying. No, you know? So it's so important. When people tell me they go get like three opinions for like getting something repaired in their house or a car or something, and I'm like, and you don't do that for your health? I'm like, come on.
It's a loss of sense of self based on whatever conditioning that we're all going through, especially at a time when we were all with the pandemic, which we're still in. But that kind of brings me to my next question. Like, while you're dealing with your chemotherapy, as well as your running and stuff like that, how did the pandemic become a trigger for you? Or how were you able to work with COVID-19 to actually make sure you had the best treatment for both preventing COVID, but at the same time, maintaining your cancer or maintaining any kind of metastases?
Okay. Well, with multiple myeloma, you're tested by like a zillion vials of blood. They don't physically check me other than my blood. So I could get I didn't have to go into Penn. I also have a local oncologist. So if something, you know, urgent, dire comes up, I could just go right over to her. So I would get my blood drawn locally, and then I would have virtual calls, Zoom calls, telemed with Dr. Stadtmauer. Thank goodness, nothing, no glitches there.
Yes, exactly.
But so he did see me, so I would not have to come in when the pandemic was at its worst. And unfortunately, when the pandemic was at its worst, I did get COVID, and I did end up in the hospital with COVID pneumonia.
You were on a respirator?
No, I was not on a respirator. It was just my left lung. Okay. This is really a crazy story. Thanksgiving night, which horrible night because that's the anniversary of my husband's death. I walked up the stairs. I have a two-story house and I was out of breath and my chest hurt. And I knew something was wrong because I did buildings all over the world. You name it, Freedom Tower, Sears Tower, you name it.
Right.
So I go to the hospital. I call the doctor. They say, all right, go to the emergency room. I go to the emergency room. And they're like, what's wrong? I said, well, I climbed a flight of stairs and I was out of breath and my chest hurt. And they're like, yes, so? And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I have done the Eiffel Tower. I have done the Empire. That's not normal. And so they did the x-ray and they saw that I did have COVID pneumonia. And again, I was able to get, you know, better, but I do have symptoms of long haulers.
That because of your comorbid relationship to myeloma?
Could be. My oncologist does say that COVID does inflame some of the muscles. And it did bring back the neuropathy I had at one point. One of the medicines I was on a long time ago, the Velcade, gave me neuropathy and then it went away.
Right.
I get COVID. I'm lying in bed one night. I'm like, are you kidding me? Neuropathy came back. I was like freaking. And now if I get very tired or worn down, the pain comes back right here. Very annoyed about that one. Annoyed.
We're about to go into our next break, but when we come back, this is the perfect time to talk about your book, because the title again is Life Happens, right?
Life gets in the way.
Powering through adversity with grit and grace. And I've already seen that in the last 45 minutes. So we want to go right into that, because when I got COVID, which was, of course, under different circumstances, just the delusional dreaming that I was going through made me become an advocate, which is why Frank About Health was born. But more importantly, we're going to go into that book, because I'm sure that the viewers and listeners can learn about how this disease has basically defined a true role model for people who are still living life with cancer, but whether they had COVID as well or not. So stay tuned right here of Frank About Health on talkradio.nyc and Facebook Live. We'll be back in a few.
Join us every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern for The Mind Behind Leadership, where we focus on what leadership really means to us and to others. We have practical discussions with the CEOs of some of the world's largest companies, owners of small businesses, and experts in psychology and behavior to get that inside track, what to do, what to avoid, and what really happens. Join me, Graham Dobbin, at the new time, 4 p.m. every Tuesday for The Mind Behind Leadership here live on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Calling all pet lovers.
Pet Avengers, assemble!
On the Professionals and Animal Lovers show, we believe the bond between animal lovers is incredibly strong. It mirrors that bond between pets and their owners. Through this program, we come together to learn, educate, and advocate.
Join us live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Everybody, this has been a very interesting, enlightening episode for me. I hope it has been the same for you. I want to talk about your book, Life Gets in the Way, Powering Through Adversity with Grit and Grace. And I see it all over you. Do you want to talk about the book, where people can find it? Is there a copy right behind you?
Copy right behind me. I got copies everywhere.
Love it.
Let me tell you something. When you started talking about COVID and, you know, what I did and whatnot, I actually made the best of COVID. When I was out, you know, homesick with COVID, and even when we all had to be virtually and be home and whatnot, I finished writing my book.
Awesome.
I did not sit home and watch TV and, you know, like I should have did things like maybe clean closets and stuff like that. But no, I sat down every day and finished this. I started 3 years prior, but, you know, life gets in the way and writers really have to be in the zone. And yes, so hard when you're just juggling so many things to when you do get in the zone, it's like, oh, I have to stop writing because now I have to go here, there. I said, I'm going to use this time and really take advantage of it and finish my book. So that's what I did. And, you know, when I started this book, I met a stair climber who wrote a book and I was so bummed. It said, "See Jane Climb." I'm like, no, I could Sally, Dick and Jane. See Sally. But she was great. And she introduced me to my publisher and my editor. And I really wanted my book, a children's book. No, they didn't want that. I thought I had a really funny fiction book. Nah, they didn't want that. They wanted my story. They said, your story can really help others.
Oh, yeah.
So
I definitely see that.
I had everything written, but I had to compile it and put it in a way that, you know, the reader could actually enjoy and understand, and hopefully it could help them. So that is what I did, because when I got to the top of the Eiffel Tower after having my transplant, I was like, you know, again, it was like a eureka aha moment. It's like, I got to get out there. I got to reach more people. I got to help people. So with my book, that's what I am doing now. I'm hoping like it really motivates people to live life like to their fullest. And it's, you know, cancer is not a death sentence. Maybe 50 years ago, but we're so lucky to live where we do and when we do. And there's so much out there. Reading is knowledge. I'm not just saying read my book, but, you know, reading is knowledge. And everybody I meet, I've met some great people. I like to, just yesterday,
yeah,
I met Dr. Sanjay Gupta. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Mr. CNN himself.
Yeah, yeah. I have his book, you know, here too. And he signed it for me. We did a little book swap. And, you know, when I meet people, yeah, he wrote Keep Chasing Life, Sally.
Oh, yes.
So when I meet people, I love to ask and because I want to take something away. You know, I want to know, you know, so I like to take advantage of every moment and when I meet people. Right. So I'm hoping that my book can do the same for others. It's available. I have a website, sallykalksma.com. It's available Barnes and Noble. It's available on Amazon, you know, anywhere books are sold. And the other thing is this year, in my free time, not that I have that much free time, I went into the studio. And I did an audiobook version of it.
Very nice.
So again, you can go to my website, you can go to iTunes, you can go to Audible, and you can download the audio version of it too.
Are there any highlights in the book that you could share with the audience, especially those that are dealing with different types of cancer?
Oh, well, sure. I have a couple different little excerpts in here that, you know, they might be a little inspirational for people. Gosh, there's a lot in here. Let's see. I hit my lowest point on day plus 9. My absolute neutrophil count hit 0. My platelets and white and red blood cells were almost as low. My poor visitors that day witnessed my body go into shock. They sat and watched the first of 2 emergency blood transfusions. The second blood transfusion was given the next day before a platelet transfusion. I didn't have any brain cells left at this point. Not that I had many to begin with. So I try to keep it light and funny. You know, it's like, I love when you see a neurologist and they say, well, we don't see anything. I'm like, well, is that good or bad? Do you see anything up there?
Well, that there's truth that in humor, you're able to release some kind of neurotransmitters or chemicals or endorphins to even help with cell quality and things like that. I do believe that.
I'm a proponent of that. I so believe medicine. I mean, laughter is the best medicine. I mean, I have this great relationship with my doctor. When we go in there, we just banter and we have a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going back and forth. Yeah, it's good. I started a Facebook page, No Wigs Needed. And it's a place where people could go and write their funny stories that happened in the hospital.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of sites and it's great that people could go to and say, hey, what do you do when this happens or that happens and this hurts or the medicine? And there's a place for that. But I thought it would be really good to have a place where people could say, hey, this happened. You know, I was walking around the hall not knowing and I had a hole, you know, in the bottom of my behind. And I'm walking down the hall and didn't even know it in the hospital, you know. Yeah, the hospital gown was open in the back. Just tell your funny stories, you know, because, yeah, that's part of life, too. That's part of treatment.
And rehabilitation and recovery. Mm-hmm.
Oh, exactly. I mean, your brain, your mind controls everything.
Yes.
And I talk about that in the book. You have to have a positive attitude because the minute you say, I can't or I won't, it sends that out to the rest of your body and then your body won't do it. But as soon as you say, I can, I will, you're sending those positive endorphins out and you do it. You might not do it well, but you do it. And that's the important thing.
You know, I was wondering also, I mean, you mentioned Sanjay Gupta, and you know he's been on CNN talking about COVID and vaccines and things like that. I'm sure you know about the mRNA vaccine, especially Pfizer and Moderna, but did you hear from either him directly or even other media outlets that they're looking at mRNA vaccines to cure cancer?
You know, I have heard that. I have heard that. He did not speak about that. Okay. Yesterday, all about aging and the mind aging. And it was just phenomenal what he talked about because he is a neurosurgeon. And he was telling us, and I'll share it with your audience, that it's the brain, it's not true that you don't use your whole brain. You do use your entire brain. You may not use it to its fullest capacity. So he said, if you're a righty, start doing things with your left hand. Get that left side going. Use it more and take up something new and do it with the opposite hand. And this will really help if, God forbid, you have a stroke and the right side goes. You now can use the left hand to eat, to write, and whatnot. So as soon as I went home last night, I brushed my teeth with my left hand. However, I have an electric toothbrush, so it was really easy. I was really proud of myself.
Awesome. Awesome.
But, you know, he talked about the brain aging, and I found it so fascinating because, you know, the brain does control everything. Your mind controls everything. And that's what his talk was on. And he and I talked about the different types of cancers. So he's just brilliant. So,
well, I'm hoping that your book is also going to control the aspect of the mind that, you know, on my last show that you had a sneak peek into that ended at 6 o'clock, we were talking about how COVID has changed the entire employee model, whether you're working in the hospitality industry or the healthcare industry even, and you have just so much resistance that's going on because it's all happening so fast. We can only hope that a book like yours can make people use that part of the brain that they keep closed and not wanting to deal with the adaptations that we all have to collectively deal with.
You're absolutely, that's so true.
I appreciate it. I hate this. We only have 1 minute left and I want to do another show with you. I'm already motivated for a part two, but what I'll do is I'll call you tomorrow and figure out if we can actually arrange one. But in the meantime.
I'll work on my laptop in the meantime.
Exactly. Or a fine tablet with a cup of wine on the side. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being here at this special episode. You are a champion, Sally Kirk. I have to say to everyone, please buy her book. It'll give you inspiration, whatever ails you, if it's in the cancer category or not. I believe so. Only heard hearing that one excerpt right there that I have to get the book myself. Also, stay tuned for the next episode of Frank About Health next Thursday when we bring Dr. George Jandel, who will speak about the pain of disconnection. And it's going to be a spiritual take, even though she's a clinically trained psychoanalyst, she's going to be looking at it from the whole spiritual way that she had done on her podcast, Journey Through to Awareness. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here on Frank About Health for the last two episodes. And we will see you next week. And stay tuned tomorrow, where you'll have Philanthropy in Focus in the morning, and you'll end in the day with... I think the Entrepreneurial Web. Okay. And of course, Steve Fry with Always Friday. Thank you again, Sam, for everything that you do. And thank you also to Kyle for running through the last 2 hours with me and through the technical difficulties. But we will move forward and I will call you tomorrow. I promise. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, good night everybody.
Bye.
NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Uninformed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.